Hi, it's Michael Sinoff here, and I'm the founder and developer of WeightedHands.com. I'm a busy professional, a husband, and a father of two young boys. I started making and using Weighted Hands because I wanted a way to burn a ton of calories in as little time as possible, but I didn't want to get injured doing it. I wanted to eat whatever I wanted without feeling hungry or deprived, and I wanted to be able to maintain my weight. I wanted a low-impact workout so I could save my knees for later. A workout that required no gym memberships, no stair climbers, no treadmills, no ellipticals. I wanted something that feels easy, but to get my heart rate high enough for ongoing conditioning. Well, you're in luck because many of my buying customers have been using Heavy Hands for over 20 years, and they've been generous enough to share their personal stories with you. You'll hear me interview them on how they got started walking with Heavy Hand weights, what it did for their bodies, both in terms of musculature and weight reduction. You'll also learn about their favorite workouts, tips and tricks to burn the most amount of calories in the fastest time possible. So enjoy the interview. Now let's get going.
My name is Dan White, D-A-N-W-H-I-T-E.
And where are you located?
Cincinnati, Ohio. Actually, Westchester, Ohio. Weatherington, it's a suburb of Cincinnati.
All right, so you saw my emails and you've been sharing them with some high school buddies because you got a reunion coming up?
Yeah, we've got a 60th high school reunion coming up, Michael, and they know that I started working out when I was like 10 years old. I started with Charles Atlas and went to calisthenics, and it was a true sand in the face. You're too young to remember the Charles.
No, I know the story, but why don't you tell the story, just the cliff note, what happened to Atlas?
A buddy of mine, when we were like 11 or 12 years old, we got gangbanged by five really badass types from a neighboring town. And my dad was a cop. He rounded these guys up, and it was nasty and ugly and all that stuff. And my dad wanted to teach me how to fight. My dad was a hell of an athlete, an amateur boxer and stuff like that. I've been looking at the Atlas ads, and I said, Dad, I want to get big so I don't have to fight. Well, what I wanted was a set of weights, so he wouldn't get them for me. So I got into the Atlas thing and then calisthenics, and I got to the point where I could do one-arm pull-ups when I was about 12 years old before he finally took me seriously and got me a set of weights. Michael, when I was 15 years old, I might have been the strongest teenager in the world because I did a YMCA performance when I was 15, just before 16, and I bench pressed 435 pounds.
How big were you at 15?
Well, this was in 1955. And one of the reasons that I believed I could do that was because I could do 100 push-ups with a 150-pound buddy on my back. I never trained for strength. We didn't do this crazy max-out workouts, one-rep max stuff back in the day. We trained for muscle, kind of like Vince Gironda taught and Steve Reeves. You know, these guys trained for muscle and appearance. They were wary of ruining their joints, which I eventually did because I switched to an Arnold-type workout, but back in the day, I had no idea I could bench press 435 pounds, but I got in this contest and started out with 225, you know, two wheels on each side of an Olympic bar, and they just kept going up and up and up, and they kept egging me on. I finished out at 435, no problem.
And you're 15 years old?
Yep.
How much did you weigh? How tall were you?
Well, I was a big kid. I was 6'1". I don't know exactly what. I topped out at 6'1", and I weighed about 205 pounds at the time. I was a big kid. A year earlier, I was 5'10 and 145 pounds. So the working out for muscle, not for maxing out, put a lot of weight on me. It was great for football and all that kind of stuff, but I was a big kid. But this was a big deal. You won't remember this probably, but I knew because I started subscribing to the Muscle Mags that two guys, just about the time I did this bench press in this competition, Reg Park, who was Arnold's mentor, had just done a 500-pound bench press, which was a world record. And there was a guy named Doug Hepburn, a big guy, 320-pound guy with a crippled leg, and he had just done a 500-pound bench press. He put that in perspective today where they're using bench shirts and doing 1,000 pounds and all that kind of crazy stuff. So for a 16-year-old dude, let's say, to do over 400 pounds was a really, really big deal. And it's a long story. My dad wouldn't let me have a rack, and that's a story. I won't get into that. But I had to pull the weight over to press it. I couldn't take it out of a rack. He wouldn't let me. He's afraid I was going to let it come down on my throat. So I've been doing this stuff all my life, off and on, and ruining my joints and maxing out. I bought Leonard's book back in the early 80s, 82, 83, something like that. I still have it around here.
Do you remember where you saw it or how you first learned about Heavy Hands?
his book. I will say this. I think I saw a copy of Steve Reeves' book about the same time.
That's right.
Power Walking or something like that.
Yes.
But the other thing was, I knew intuitively that lifting heavy was one thing, but carrying heavy weight like a fireman was something else. And even before Leonard came along, one of the things I did to loosen up, to warm up, or between sets, I would walk around with dumbbells. You know, 50-pound dumbbells, sometimes 100-pound dumbbells. I'd walk around the gym with that. So when I saw his book and saw what he was doing, I thought, man, oh, man, that makes sense. And then, of course, he had all the backup information about he was in better shape than the NFL players, in better shape than this, in better shape than that. So somewhere back in the 80s, heavy hands became my go-to workout. And it was go-to because I was a busy stockbroker, then a realtor, and all kinds of stuff. I didn't have time to go to the gym. I just didn't have time to change clothes and all this stuff. So I committed to myself that I would take 1 to 3 10-minute workouts a day with heavy hands. And what happened was I learned that I could not only maintain my strength and muscularity between what you might call more serious workouts, the 2 or 3 or 4 hour workouts like Arnold used to do, and that the heavy hands more than allowed me to stay in shape strength-wise and appearance-wise, even if a month or 2 or 3 went by between serious workouts. So that's the deal.
What did one of those workouts look like? Paint a picture.
Well, I could probably do a video and send you, but the workout basically was, in fact, I just did a 10-minute one. And there are different things, but the one I just did is an example. I had a little bit of martial arts training along the way, and one of the ones I really like is to walk and lunge, and with the lunge comes a punch from maybe 3 different kinds of punches or 4 different kinds of punches. One might be an uppercut, the other might be a hook, the other might be a straight jab or a cross, and the other one might be a punch straight up in the air. Like Floyd Mayweather, the boxer, he brags about pumping 5-pound dumbbells up in the air for 5 minutes without stopping.
Oh, does he?
If you ever follow Mayweather, and so I don't follow him, but I just happen to see that in an article. That's one of the things he does, even as a boxer. I saw your boxing clip, and the guy recommends no more than 3 pounds. But Mayweather, who's a little guy but a beast, he does 5-pounders straight up in the air, punch style, for 5 minutes. That's part of his workout. But anyway, I've had all kinds of injuries over the years, hip replacement, knee replacement, ripped Achilles, had my whole heart rebuilt and all this stuff. And my joints just aren't what they ought to be anymore. And one of the things I really liked about the heavy hands was it really didn't involve full extension or full flexion. It's kind of like real life. You don't throw a punch and extend all the way out. But on the other hand, if you do have a good side of your body, like my right arm and shoulder are great, my left hip and knee are great, my right leg is horrible, my shoulder is horrible, but the way I do it is basically it's one arm movement for 2 steps, or maybe one arm movement for even 3 or 4 or 5 steps, rather than the constant pump, 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 quick kind of stuff. Number one, you really wear yourself out quick if you do the kind of thing the guy does in your video. I don't see how a guy can go for 10, 20, especially 30 minutes when you're walking and pumping at the same pace. To me, that's surreal. But what is real, for me anyway, is to walk at a normal pace, and then when I get ready to use my arm, I take a longer step, and I get a little more extension, and then I take a couple of quick steps to catch up with the lunge and go on like that. The thing that's really cool about it is if you know anything at all about exercising, you can be creative and do whatever you want. You can use a stepper, you know, as a lot of aerobic classes do. You can go up and down the steps. You can walk backwards. You can turn around in circles. When you're old like I am, going on 80, it's not only great for your muscles and your heart, but one of the big things is you'll find out, you sound like you're about 16, Michael, with all due respect. One of the things you'll find out, when you get past 50, the biggest challenge that we guys have is balance. And I've never seen anybody in the heavy hands world talk about what a great thing it is for balance for old farts. But I tell you what, it's one of the most practical things you can do. You get the muscle, upper and lower. You get the cardio. You also get balance.
Well, let's talk about balance. When did balance become an issue for you or any of your buddies? You notice that balance becomes an issue.
Balance is a given. It's an automatic as you age. If you look at Mayo Clinic's website, if you look at any aging website, balance is an issue. The stats say the average person over 60 will fall down twice a year. If you fall down, there's a good chance you're going to hurt yourself and go to a nursing home. There's a good percentage of those people that never come home again. Balance is probably the number one caveat as we age, even more so than muscle deterioration, brain deterioration. They're all serious. Even without disease, they're serious issues. But balance, if you get on the geezer websites, medical websites for geriatrics, you'll see that balance is number one. And preventing falls in older people is one of the number one things that old people have to avoid. Because if you fall down, there's a high probability you're going to hurt yourself, going to be institutionalized, hospital, nursing home, and that may be the end of life as you know it.
That's an interesting perspective.
I mean, walking alone helps your balance. But when you're walking around with weights, I don't care if they're one-pound weights or two-pound. You know, I know people that wear gloves, hit a bag with weighted gloves. But when you've got this extra weight extension on your extremities, it forces your body. It's not a conscious thing. It works to improve your balance along with your strength. So that's part of what I do and what I found out. I mean, I didn't even know about the balance thing when I was a younger man doing heavy hands. It wasn't an issue when I was 30 and 40, even 50 years old. But now that I'm in my 70s, almost 80, it's a hell of a big deal. It really is a big deal. And this system helps that immeasurably. And that was an unknowing benefit when I re-upped this thing some months back. The other thing I do, for your information, when I'm really feeling beastly, like I have lately, I put on 5-pound ankle weights. I wrap 5-pound ankle weights around my ankles and I go outside and I got the heavy feet and the heavy hands going at the same time. When I go into a situation I'm going to have to hold my temper and stuff like that, I really want to wear myself out, behave myself, I take a 10-minute ankle weight and heavy hands workout. That's a beast. That really is a beast.
How much weight are you walking with your heavy hands?
My favorite is 10-pounders. When Leonard offered his red handles and his weights, the most you could get were 10-pound weights. To this day, that remains my favorite. I use fives, and I use tens, and I've got a set of power blocks. I don't know if you know what those are. Those are the weight stack dumbbells that you can buy, put a pin in, and you can adjust the dumbbells anywhere from 5 pounds up to 150 pounds apiece.
Yes.
When I want something more than 10, I've got the power blocks. Power blocks came out about 12, 15 years ago, and I got some right off. They're one of the best inventions ever made if you want to do speed sets and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, if I want to get up to 25-pounders or even walk with 50-pounders and do a few curls or do a few rows or whatever, I use those. The other thing that I've never seen with heavy hands that I've done, Michael, is I've never seen anybody bend over and walk, get in a crouch and walk. And if you get in a crouch and walk...
Like a duck walk?
No. You know what a bent over row is?
Yes.
So you get in a bent over row position. You're bending your knees and your hips. You get in a bent over row position, and then you can walk and you can do tricep kickbacks.
True.
You can do straight arm pullbacks. You can do bent over rows. You can do bent over alternate rows. And sometimes I'll do curls and tricep kickbacks in conjunction with each other, where you do a curl upright, and then you bend over and do one rep tricep kickback, and then you straighten back up, do a curl, and you bend over, do the tricep kickback. And so you're doing your bicep and triceps back and forth.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's weightedhands.com.
Another thing I do that I haven't really seen in the videos, I just came by this because I got major arthritis, major, major arthritis, and this has been a godsend for that. But one of the things that I haven't seen done, and I would show this, is it sure you can walk and you can dance and all that, but you can also just stop with your weights, whether they're 5 pounders or 10 pounders, and you can do squats. You can do stiff-legged bent overs, Romanian deadlifts with it. And one of the things also along with that, rather than just holding these things down at your side, I like to pull them up in a beginning press position. I like to pull them up under my chin and do shrugs and presses and just squats. Do squats with the weights up around your chin rather than down by your hips. And what that does is it increases your heartbeat. When you've got your hands up over your heart, it definitely accelerates your heartbeat. And again, if it's a matter of getting as much bang for your buck in terms of how much can I do in 5 or 10 minutes, all that kind of stuff helps. That's pretty much it. I think it's a lot easier for somebody that has some kind of a background in exercising and weight training especially, maybe, to innovate when it comes to this kind of stuff. But it's cardio. It's strength for sure. It's endurance, logically endurance. But the one thing I haven't seen you guys bragging about, which you should, for geezers especially, balance.
I will. That's a great point. It's not something that was on my radar, but it should be, especially since I know I've got a father-in-law who's 90, and he just took a fall. Luckily, he was okay. And I was with him all day Saturday watching a wrestling tournament for my son. And I'm watching him and telling him, you need to pick up your feet, because it was conscious, because I knew he had fallen. And my father also, who is in mid-80s, had taken a fall, not because of balance, but it was nighttime, and he ran into a table he couldn't see. But absolutely. That is very significant, and that is something that needs to be addressed. And I could see after you explaining it that walking with the weights in your hand can probably increase your balance. Maybe not consciously, but I could see that working. That is great.
Well, you do. When you think about it, if you pick up a child or you pick up a bag of groceries, anything, and you walk with it, you are automatically, involuntarily, let's say, more cautious about what you're doing. You're more aware of putting your feet down, but it is part of it. And how old is your father-in-law?
He's going to be 90 next week.
Wow. But, you know, my 95-year-old father-in-law just passed away a couple of years ago. You know, he was a treadmill guy and a bicycle guy, and he was lifting weights back in the 20s when nobody in the world was, except Jack LaLanne, probably. And I got him into the heavy hands thing, and he loved it. You know, he cut his workout time from about 3 hours a day down to a total of 20 or 30 minutes, depending on how he felt. And he walked around the house. You know, if the weather was great, he'd go outside, but he'd walk around the house. He don't even have to go outside.
That's right.
And it's not boring. It isn't boring if you mix up your steps and turn on a little music and walk backwards and all this other kind of stuff.
So you pumped iron for a while. Was your goal to get big when you were younger?
My goal initially was just to get big so I wouldn't have to fight. That's honestly the truth. And then I went out for football, not because I wanted to. My dad was a great football player, but I wanted to be a country singer and a guitar player. And a little bitty high school that I went to, it had a national reputation for football. And I was a tiny school. There were 50 in my graduating class. But the peer pressure for somebody to play football in that high school was so great. And especially for somebody that 1 year weighed 110 pounds, started working out, the next year weighed 145 pounds, which was a pretty big kid, especially for a 14-year-old back in the early 50s. But then a year later, after lifting and lifting and lifting and coming out for football, weighed 190 pounds a year later. The peer pressure was huge, and the teasing was outrageous. I was teased about being a beast. I really was a beast. Almost nobody that I met for 5 or 6, 7 years until I went to college, almost nobody knew what a bodybuilder was back in those days. If they saw one at all, it was on a drugstore magazine cover. That was just the way it was. They weren't on television. They weren't anywhere. I really was a beast, and it just happened overnight. I didn't cheat. There wasn't any way to cheat. I grew up on cheeseburgers and chocolate malts, and somebody told me to take a couple of raw eggs down to the drugstore where we got the malts and have them put the raw eggs in there. And, man, Michael, I got so damn strong, and not because I was trying to get strong, but just because I was diligent. I did exercises until the reps built up and built up and built up. When I went to this YNCA competition and did this bench press, which surprised everybody, I had never bench pressed more than 250 pounds in my life prior to that, and I didn't train that way. It was just the way it was. That gets back to the difference of training for muscle and health versus training for pure numbers and pure strength, which will eventually, if you're not careful, you just destroy your joints. And I eventually got into that crazy stuff, and I did ruin a lot of my joints, and I've got arthritis right now. That's probably inherited, but, you know, the thing about it is getting out of bed in the morning first thing and just walking around the house for 10 minutes, drinking a couple glasses of water to lubricate the system. The water and the 10-minute walking is the best antidote for arthritis that I've ever come across. And then the next 10 minutes that I walk, either inside or out, or with the heavy hands. I usually start off with the 5-pounders, and then I work up to the 10-pounders, and 2 or 3 days a week, I work up to 25-pounders. And at this point, I don't go much beyond that.
All right, that's fantastic. What a story. Let me ask you this. Back in the day, I'm too young to know anything about Steve Reeves, but what was your impression of him, and how did you view him as a bodybuilder? You know, what do you remember about Steve Reeves?
Well, number one, he was drop-dead good look. And I wouldn't even call him rugged good looks. He was Hollywood good looks. They were rugged good looks because he was so well built. But to me, he was the epitome of all time. He just had it all. And his style of training, now in retrospect, he wasn't the strongest guy in the world by any means. I don't know if he even knew how strong he was because he didn't train that way. He just didn't train for strength. And I'm sure he was strong enough. And I'd never met the guy. I mean, I met some of these guys. I had a good friend of mine that I drove out to Gold's Gym in Venice Beach in 1978. And he went out there to train for the Mr. America contest, which was in Cincinnati the following year. Right here, and Larry went out there, he's going to win the contest and all this stuff, and he never touched a steroid in his life. Larry was 185 pounds, and he bench pressed 550. He was like Franco Colombo, for God. I don't know if you ever heard of Franco.
Sure.
But Larry was a Franco Colombo type guy with a better body than Franco, actually, and he came back here to Cincinnati, and I don't know how he missed it, but he finished fourth in that contest, but the three guys ahead of him were all pumped up on roids. It looked like men against boys. But Larry's up there at 185 pounds, cut and amazing. But these guys that were ahead of him were 30, 40, 50 pounds heavier. They looked like somebody stuck a hose up their rectum and blew them up. That was part of it that I never went for. I was a shy kid. I didn't like taking my clothes off and all this stuff. I got into it because I was never going to get my ass whipped again. I told him, I said, Dad, it's never going to happen. He said, you know what you're going to do? Well, I started getting muscle. He said, now what you're going to do is you're going to walk into a bar or a pool room and people will want to take you on.
And did it happen?
Oh, yeah, it happened. It did. Especially after I got into the football world. And then I got pretty cocky, too. Honestly, I brought some of it on myself. But, yeah, it happened. But I never got my ass beat. I mean, I had people try me, but I never got my ass beat ever after that. My doc over the last 20 years has said, buddy, you better keep working out. You better keep doing something because if you lose your muscle, you're done. You'll be in a wheelchair. He said, you have no cartilage anywhere left in your body, anywhere, your spine, your knees, anywhere, hips, feet. You need the muscle to support your frame. You got to take care of yourself so you can keep the muscle going.
Well, this has been a great conversation, and you've really brought up some important information about balance. That is so true, and I'm experiencing it with my father-in-law and my father, and I'm going to write about that.
You want to tell your father-in-law, especially at 90, Michael, he needs to watch his feet. You know, even at my age, which is old enough, you put your feet down and you think you know where they are, and you don't. At least once every 2 weeks or so, I think I've got my full four size 14 squarely on the step, and I look down, and it's half on the step and half off. Your father-in-law must look at where his feet are, especially if he's on a step.
Yeah.
That's where most of the falls occur. And the other thing, and this is something I learned in my powerlifting days or whatever you want to call it, a lot of the instruction is, you're doing heavy squats, look at a spot on the wall. That is wrong information. If you want to keep your spine straight and stable, and you're doing squats, you want to pick a spot on the ground about 12 feet out from you and look at that spot on the ground.
Not at the
and
wall.
And when you're walking with heavy hands, you don't want to be looking out in space. You don't want to be craning your neck and looking at the landscape. Mm-hmm. You want to be looking at the ground about 12 feet in front of you. If you want to keep your spine in a stable, healthy position, you don't want to crane your neck. And I've seen people do this with heavy hands. It's even more important that you walk with the right posture with heavy hands than it is if you don't have the weights in your hand. You need to tell your father-in-law, hey, this matter of spinal correctness, when you're moving around, dude, it's really important.
How would you recommend one's posture walking with heavy hands? The head looking straight out, or?
You get correct posture. You have a slight lordosis in your low back. You don't overdo it. You get the hip, the lumbar spine right, thoracic spine. But then you get up to the neck, the cervical area. Straight ahead is okay. Straight ahead is fine. But what you don't want to do is look up. You don't want to bend your neck back, for sure. And as you get older, if you try to do a press, as you get older, your shoulders tighten up, you're going to want to look up. You're going to want to bend back. You don't want to do that. You either look straight ahead or you look down slightly, you know, like you straighten your neck, military style. You look forward, but you look down. Part of the reason you want to look down, frankly, when you get older, it's not just posture, but you want to see where your feet are going. You want to be able to look from the tip of your toes out about 12 feet. And not only is that good for knowing where your feet are, but it's a more correct spinal position. You're not going to get yourself in trouble with your back. This is a caveat, I think, with the heavy hands, is that if you have too much bend in your low back and your neck, the heavy hands could be a negative. You don't want to sway back like an old donkey. You don't want to sway neck either. And if you don't use heavy hands correctly, you could exacerbate a back problem rather than helping a back problem. It should help your back problems, as some of these testimonials would have. But if you're looking up in the air, if you're trying to put weights over your head while you walk and bending back too far, you could hurt yourself.
Thank you for that advice. That's excellent.
I've never done that, but I could tell. I mean, I'm a stiff old guy right now, and when I'm walking and pressing with the weights, I keep my spine rigid. I look forward and down slightly, and I only press them up to a little bit above my head. I don't try to go all the way up, unless I'm doing a unilateral thing, which is a whole different ball game. You can do with one arm very easily what you can't do with two. And that's especially true when you're talking about overhead stuff.
So at close to 80, have you been able to keep some of that muscle mass that you built up over your life?
I'm about 200 pounds, and my arms are close to 18. I'm not as lean as I was.
I'm just saying the human body can maintain muscle all the way into your 80s and 90s.
Absolutely. But you have to work it. When you're 20, 30, even 40 years old, you can skip working out entirely for a couple weeks or so, and you don't see much difference. I'll tell you what, that ain't true when you're 60, 70, 80. It disappears overnight almost. It's a whole different ballgame.
That's interesting. All right, well, hey, thank you so much for sharing this story. You've offered some great information.
It's a great system. I mean, I probably wouldn't be as enthusiastic about it right now if I hadn't Googled it. I thought, you know what? This is the way to go. I mean, this is time, man. You got to stop doing this, even one-hour workouts. Why do you want to do that? I'm a very busy guy for 80. I'm still got a lot of deals going on in that. I spend a lot of time at the computer. I sit here and I think, oh, my God, I've been sitting on my ass here for 30 minutes. It's
get
time
up.
To get up and take a 10-minute workout.
That's what's great about it.
Okay, Michael.
All right. Very nice talking to you. Thank you for your generous time. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
That's the end of our interview. I hope you've enjoyed it. For more great interviews and stories like this, go to Michael Senoff's weightedhands.com.